Welcome to At a Crossroads of the Naked Podcaster, where we bear it all emotionally and spiritually. This podcast is designed to support and uplift you as a Christian. I'm your host, Jen Taylor from momof18.com. Each week on the podcast, I'll bring you an inspiring message to support you in designing and creating a vibrant, fulfilling life. Before we dive in, please visit all of the links in the communities as this is a live broadcast. Feel free to ask questions I can answer during the podcast. At Crossroads with the Naked Podcasters for Christians who know that there is more to life and that our true authentic souls are built for greatness. You are built with strength and love that is meant to shine through during times of conflict and celebration. Welcome. I can't wait to bear it all with you. In my business as a coach for Christian women, I help them to step into who they are meant to be and be inspired by their purpose and God-given gifts. Follow the links to sign up for my free training on how you as a Christian can begin to design the life that's meant for you. Reach out to me at any time on momof18.com. Welcome to At a Crossroads of the Naked Podcaster. I'm your host, Jen Taylor. Today is a solo episode where I am discussing purpose, and I'm going to be sharing my story. This is one of the first times I have ever shared details of my journey. It's hard and it's scary to really share yourself, but I'm going to give it a go and what I've learned from it and how I'm moving forward into it. I was raised Christian, although that looked a lot of different ways. I remember in one church, we had a Bible that was called The Way. I felt as a little kid, like I was just born with this innate faith and belief in God and that Jesus Christ was my savior. And that it was kind of automatic that I just gave my life to him. I remember one time my mom coming out onto the porch and I was sitting there and she asked me who I was talking to. And I was like, I'm talking to Jesus. Like, you know, everybody just hangs out on the porch and talks to Jesus, right? It was just such an ingrained part of who I was. I don't know any other way to actually be. I felt really drawn to going to church and to learning and understanding. As a kid, I didn't really know what that meant. As I got older, I started to really search it out. I would have to say and describe myself as a very young adult in that 16 to 17 year old age group that I was very curious. And it was super disheartening to me because I would go to churches and not all churches are excited that you're asking questions. There's an expectation that you'll just do what they say without asking why or show me the proof or where is this in scripture. I was very drawn to the King James Bible because I felt like that was the least diluted version. And now I use the New King James Version and the King James Version and a couple others. And I like to compare. Still though, I prefer that information to be less filtered down. And I think part of that is because so much when I was younger seemed very filtered and then I wasn't being allowed to ask questions. When I was 17 years old, the same month I graduated high school, I joined what most would consider a cult. I was really desperately looking for a place that I felt like I belonged, where I could ask questions, where the answers made sense, and where there were really strong family values. And I did it headstrong, without question or reservation. As a person who had asked a lot of questions in church, when I heard enough of the right answers, I actually didn't take it steps further and ask more questions to really clarify. Part of that was because I was desperate to find a religion that said they were Christian that I could be part of. And part of that was that I was desperate for that connection, the actual human beings and the family values that were so important to me that I wanted to have moving forward in my life. I was 17 when I joined the church. And I left that church 17 years later. I would agree, although it's a difficult conversation for me to have, that it is a cult. My husband was brought up in a very strict Catholic environment. My personal opinion about Catholics is that they're very straightforward. They let you know exactly how they feel. There's a lot of fear and guilt, and it's very confrontational. Moving forward out of a super strict religion like the Catholicism that he was raised in, it's hard to release a lot of that guilt and fear, to not fall back into that. Yeah, I'm in a Christian religion now. However, I still have these triggers or baggage of fear and fire and brimstone and purgatory. The Catholic Church, in my mind, is very blatant and upfront in their approach. A cult is very insidious in their approach. And this was my experience. I still find out things about that religion that I never knew 17 years in. Things that had never been taught to me, things that they're not upfront about. It kind of worms its way in, and the doctrine is manipulated in a way that it doesn't seem like it's off, because it's just a little off. But the further you get from the truth, the further off it gets. By that time, though, it's already worked its way into your thoughts and how you do things, and you don't question it. I know that this is a really weird example, but I remember when bell bottoms came out more recently, like after the 90s, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. That's like, they're terrible. I hate them. I'm never going to wear them. And it's interesting that over time, as you're subjected to seeing them more and people wear them, that you go from completely rejecting it to finding it interesting, to being curious, to finding it intriguing, to accepting it and liking it, and then wearing bell bottoms yourself. There's this whole process we kind of go through when new fashion comes out. Although that's an odd example, the thought process is very similar in a cult-like setting, where it makes sense and you ask questions and you get the right answers, and then maybe it's just a little different. And then you get to this point where you realize 17 years later, in my case, where you started and where you are Grand Canyons apart, and that it's just kind of insidiously worked into your life. One of the most difficult things that I did was to break ties with that church. And I did that almost 17 years ago. So I was 17 years without it, 17 years with it, and another 17 without it. I still find, in my own journey and being a Christian, those triggers and baggage that still pops up, not in a way that I'm crying and sobbing, but in a way where I think, wow, this is something that I need to investigate and be curious about and determine why that is triggering me, or why my brain is thinking about that topic in a different way that I know now isn't right, but yet I still have this little default that goes back that. To explain what my beliefs are now in reference, I would consider myself a non-denominational Bible-believing Christian. And Christian is a great term because all it means is Christ follower. That is a loaded thing to say. There are certain words that I find are very charged. Christian is one. Spirituality is one. Words that can mean very different things to different people. So just saying I'm a Christian doesn't necessarily mean to me the same thing that it means to you. I had a really, really big struggle in my journey that road back to finding myself and finding Christ again, going back to that little kid that sat on the steps that talked to Jesus, because that's what everybody does, right? In this process, this 17 years since I left that church, I was a single mom through part of it. I had a relationship in that period of time. I was still doing foster care. I was raising my kids. And what I did not do well that I wish I had figured out sooner, I thought if I was an example of a believer in Christ to my kids and my friends and my family, that they would see that and that that would be enough. I was an example by being a good person, trying to be the best mom that I could, being a hard worker, but not really in my actions and going to church and in really teaching the kids what that meant to me. That hurts me a lot. And although I have conversations about Christ and God with my kids, and they know that I go to church and I'm more outspoken about it, there were many years that I was passive about my faith. And for that, I am sorry. A lot of that period of time, I felt sort of on autopilot. I was working full time. I was taking care of my kids. I was trying to do things for myself. I was building friendships. I was running. I was doing all kinds of great things. I just wasn't showing them enough through example how important Christ was to me. And I didn't know how to make that transition at that time. It's taken a lot of years for me to be able to just say, I'm a non-denominational Bible believing Christ follower and what that means to me. I think a big question a lot of people ask is, who am I? And what is my purpose in life? We get really stuck and lost in that process. Even people who are strong in church still are asking these questions. When I got back to kind of the roots of my own Christianity and I no longer wanted to be passive, part of that was realizing that I had good friends that really didn't know that about me. And that meant being a passive example wasn't really expressing who I was. It was a really nice, polite way for me to not have to be uncomfortable in all of the parts of who I was. You can just be passive, right? That makes it all easy. There's no confrontation in being passive because you're never actually directly explaining who you are and what that means to you. I felt like I had to start with my relationship with God. I was born by his purpose and for his purpose. That is the first part of what is my purpose in life. It is following Christ and having Christ be at the center of that. In Job 12, verse 10, it says, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? So I'm not focusing on myself. It isn't about me. I'm not the center, and being passive is not the way to show people who I am. The first thing that I felt like I needed to do in finding my purpose is to ask God. Hey, by the way, you know my journey well before I ever have, and much better than I do. And you see the steps so clearly that I feel like I'm lost and stumbling on. God didn't leave me alone, stumbling and wandering. I did that to myself by not allowing Christ to be the center, by not really digging deep and determining what that meant to me. And speaking out about it, being less passive about it, just kind of happening and being part of who I was, like I'm a runner and I believe in Christ and I like to cook. It was really recentering myself and positioning Christ in the center to move forward so that I could ask God and be open to what really is my purpose in life. I knew some of this on my own innately. It was going back to that childhood joy and innate feeling of how faith was sort of woven into everything that I did. I mean, I just knew who Christ was and I knew who he was in my life and I knew I could talk to him and it was just part of who I was. Going back to that, when I really looked back, I felt at a pretty early age that one of my God-given gifts was using my voice. That means several things. It meant singing. For years and years and years of my life, it was one of the things that I was the most passionate about, right up until I was given a record contract offer on my 19th birthday. And I didn't accept that offer because of my fear. My fear was that I had this life that I wanted that was centered around Christ. And I'd already spent a couple of years in a cult. Knowing that I wanted a family, knowing that desire, and knowing what it was like if you were a famous singer, those two things didn't balance each other. And I honestly didn't know how to have both. So I walked away from a singing career out of absolute fear that I couldn't balance Christ being the center of my life and a family and having this music career. I also knew in college at 17 that public speaking was something that I absolutely loved. I did really well. I did not have fear. And it was another way that I could powerfully use my voice for the good of others. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom with God ordained before the ages of our glory. And in verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We don't know everything that he's prepared, but we can ask for the next step. And I knew from a child that a huge part of my purpose was using my voice. I wrote my book in 2016. 9 months later, I launched the podcast in May of 2017. And it was all about using voice and stories, because there's a freedom in that, not even for my voice, but to help other people's voices be heard, to help others heal. The main reason that I've wanted to use my voice is from that childhood belief in faith and in myself and my worth, that one of God's gifts to me was the power of voice. As someone who wanted to not just say that I was Christian in a passive way, but to actually live as one, I needed to discover my purpose by turning to God's word again and redefining that for myself. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Long before I decided to have Christ be the center of my life, God had his eye on me. He had designs. He knew them well before I have even thought to ask. In his word, I'm learning insight. I can discover my identity and purpose through my relationship with Jesus Christ. God was thinking about me long before and in the times that I was not thinking of him. My life was planned before I existed. There is so much in this life, a huge part in this life that I can choose for myself. I chose my spouse, career, hobbies, but God chose my purpose. And my purpose fits into a much larger picture that I don't have a blueprint for. The first thing that I needed to change was being really clear that the center of my life was Christ. And I did that. It was really, really hard. It was really scary. It's a very raw and vulnerable place to be. I lost people that I thought were friends because of it. I changed the niche of people that I work with, which was a super happy thing. I also had to learn to give myself some grace. I have felt so many times those triggers and baggage from living 17 years in a cult, that's going to come up for me. And it's 100% possible and not even difficult to work through it. Being confronted by it can be difficult. And for me, giving myself grace is the answer to help me process through all of that. We've been told in 2 Chronicles to center our lives in God. So how do you know? How do you know when God is the center of your life? One way to say it is that when he's the center of your life, you worship. And when he's not the center of your life, you worry. Having worry and anxiety can be released when we center our lives on God. That doesn't mean that it's always easy. It doesn't mean that we need to go it alone. It doesn't mean that we can't ask questions of our pastor, of our Christian friends. It doesn't mean we shouldn't band together with other Christian women. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be supported and loved. The answers are all in the scriptures. The support comes from those that we surround ourselves with. And that is a huge part of leaning into discipleship and leaning away from worry for me. We are also asked to be disciples and to disciple others. Again, we're being told to create this community. And in my opinion, it's not just creating new disciples, checking that off the list, bringing people to Christ, changing the center of someone's world. It's that for those of us who already are, who are sometimes flailing, we need to be there to support them as well. I look back in my life and raising my kids, and I really feel like I was a good person and I was really trying to be. But I wasn't necessarily a good disciple. And that was something that I knew had to change. So you lean into the fact that God knows your purpose and that we can ask God. I sometimes struggle through the baggage that comes up from the first 34-ish years of my life and at my being passive after I left that church. And I think, okay, I can ask, but then how do I fulfill my purpose? If God is answering me and I feel strongly that there are God-given gifts, I want to get out in the world and share these, how do I fulfill it? And that is about service. Who do I have a desire to serve? And that's why my niche has always been women, but changing that slightly to Christian women and changing the podcast to help other Christians was so easy for me. You are the people that I want to be in service of. You are the people I want to connect with. You are the people that I want to link arms with and hold hands and skip and support and uplift. That was easy. Who I wanted to be in service of became brainless once Christ became the center of my life. And once I had a more raw and vulnerable open communication with God, and I felt so strongly about the desire of my heart and my purpose, knowing who I wanted to serve was easy. I have worked as a trainer for years, and I transitioned that into coaching, which was so exciting. And I love working with women, and I love increasing gratitude, taking everything that I've learned and all of the ways that I was licensed and the letters you can get after your name, kind of gathering all of those things up and redefining who I was in service was, made me so excited. We have a lot of missions in this world. One huge mission of mine was being mom to 18 kids, being less passive with them, even though most of them are now adults, showing them yes by example, but more in how I'm talking to them and working with them, showing them more hands-on and not just as an example, continuing to teach them how to understand who Christ is and how he can be the center of their life and learn their purpose. That's never going to end for me. How exciting is that? But that's just one purpose, one of my missions. Instead of beating myself up about being passive for part of my kid's lifetime, I can be excited that I'm not done parenting them. As a parent, as a friend, as a coach, in using my voice, in taking the steps in my journey, in continuing to have an open communication with God, in my relationship and the storytelling that I love so much and the healing that can come from that, in my God-given gifts and my purpose, my goal is to please God. It's God who's testing my heart. And by default, I'll do better with you. I'm very hopeful that in this podcast, in this journey on my solo episodes, and then how I am shifting the interviews to a Christ-centered message, my hope is that I'll share more of that journey. It's healing and cathartic for us to share our stories and feel less alone in the world. I've always had God there. Having the support of other fellow Christians makes an enormous difference to me. I want to make sure I'm putting Christ at the center of my life, that I'm developing his character in myself, that I'm devoting my life to serving others in the way that fulfills my purpose and God-given gifts. My goal moving forward through that little kid that had so much faith and that woman struggling in a cult to the woman who was brave enough to leave it and all the support that I had, finding my way again and just being able to say, I'm a non-denomination, Bible-believing Christ follower, to shifting gears in how I run my coaching business and my podcast, which I've loved. My goal is to measure up to God's plan for me. And within that goal, it's that I can help you to do the same. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Have an amazing day. Thank you for investing your time with me on At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm so glad that you joined our conversation. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit from it or it would have a positive impact on their life, that would be amazing. Go to the podcast page to sign up for the free membership site where all guest links are available. This podcast is designed to help you in your struggles. So reach out and let me know what you enjoy or what you would like to see more of. It will support me on the journey of causing a worldwide epidemic of healing, gratitude, and joy. Until next time, remember you are not alone in your struggle. Reach out to me on any platform. I love to connect. You are worth it to me. Have an amazing day.